live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Tuesday to you all. It is July 23rd, 2019. And you indeed are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right. A lot to get to on today's show. I am excited to welcome inside of Studio West later on this hour, my man, Greg Monahan. Now, for those who attend Lansing Lugnuts games, I'm sure you have seen Greg at these games because he has been the longtime on-field host of the Luggies. You know, he's the guy rolling in trivia questions during breaks and bringing people on the field and having, or I should say, hosting different competitions. He's the guy in charge of getting you guys, you know, in the mood to go nuts. Go nuts for the Lansing Lugnuts. And he's a dear friend. I've known him for a long time. And he has made a recent announcement that he will be taking his talents to Minneapolis, Minnesota. He'll tell you why. And he'll also give you an update on his health because, you know, we had Greg going, I believe it was last year, around this time, actually, in the summertime of last year when Greg talked about a really serious battle that he has been, you know, going through for a long time. And he was hopeful for a development in his health last summer, and man, this dude has just been a trooper, and he has such an inspiring story. Trust me, you do not want to miss that interview. All right, folks, but yeah, we're losing a good one. He will be taking a new gig out in Minnesota. He'll tell you all about it, and we'll reflect on his time here in the Lansing area. I also want to touch on the 20th anniversary of Barry Sanders retiring and leaving the Detroit Lions. You know, it was 20 years ago this week that Barry Sanders abruptly said, I'm done. I'm done after 10 seasons, balling out for the Honolulu Blue. That last season, not a great year for the team as a whole, missing the playoffs. You know, putting in perspective Barry Sanders' legacy and just where he ranks when it comes to the greatest running backs of all time. Also, I'll touch on some college football, and we'll talk some Michigan State and Michigan college football. But first, you know what? I want to switch up the show a bit, you know, because normally this is the time when I say, hey, let's hit you with our current sports quick hit headliners. But before I get to all of that, you know, we spent pretty much the majority of yesterday's hour of current sports recapping what took place on Saturday at Reno's East as we celebrated the life and legacy of my predecessor, the man who was here behind the mic hosting Sports Talk on AM 870, 39 years, the great Earl Robinson. As many, many people came out to Reno's East to celebrate his life and legacy, I co-emceed that event alongside local sportscasting legend Jack Ebling. And, you know, Earl's family came out, many big-time names in the local community, many friends and again, family of Earl's, and also Irvin Magic Johnson showed up, much to the surprise of everybody in the room except Dale Beard, who was really instrumental in making that happen. Dale Beard, former high school basketball teammate of Magic Johnson's, and they are very close to this day. But, you know, Irvin surprised everybody. You know, we looked at the rundown and, again, it surprised everybody, including Jack and I. We were looking at the rundown prepping, and all of a sudden we I was looking at the rundown and saw that Dale Beard was scheduled to speak, and in parentheses it said Irvin Magic Johnson. And, you know, I turned to Jack and said, okay, so Dale's going to be speaking on behalf of Magic. And that's what Jack said. He said, yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. And then not too long after that, after confirming that, you know, I hear this ooh in the crowd. And I look over my right shoulder, and in walks Magic Johnson. So after attending the celebration of Earl Robinson, he had a family reunion to go to. So as promised on yesterday's Current Sports, and as many of you have requested, you know, we rolled in a few sound bites from the celebration of Earl yesterday. You heard from our very own Scott Pohl, also our director of broadcasting, Susie Elkins. We had Deshaun Tate of 92.9 The Game in Atlanta, college basketball expert from Lansing, Michigan, a mentee of Robinson's. He was here live in studio on the airwaves to recap that day as well. And I just gave you a taste as we ended the hour on Monday's show, just a taste of what Magic had to say. So I want to play, before I move forward with today's show, I want to play that soundbite in its entirety. Here is Magic Johnson reflecting on the life of Earl Robinson and the friendship that those two share.
First of all, God is so good. And so what a blessing it is. First of all, we should really thank Jack and WKR for, it's not too often that you get recognized for your greatness. So we're recognizing a man who not only was great at his craft, but also was a great person, great father, great husband, great person. And for you, Jack, and for WKR to recognize that, especially growing up as a black man, we sometimes get overlooked for our greatness. So we should clap for that, because this is outstanding. I'm so blessed because coming up in Lansing, Michigan, you look for idols and you look for people who can mentor you. And so I was so blessed to see Coach Bibbs come to Michigan State and break through. And Coach, you helped a lot of people, so thank you. Mike, you didn't understand that I love watching you play and put it in that one hand, bruh. Because if it wasn't for you, you helped me fall in love with Michigan State. And then it was this short dude. And running around with hot pants on the track of Michigan State. So we were hooping, and this little dude was just running. And so when we got done playing basketball, he came up to me and introduced himself. And I said, wow, this is the guy I've been listening to on the radio. And then thank God for Earl, because we never had a soul station. And from 2 to 5, we finally got soul music in Lansing, Michigan. And then we became friends. And when I got to Michigan State, he gave me my first concert tickets. Man, I remember the Commodores were coming to Jennison Fieldhouse and having the Miss Brick House contest. And that's when Cookie thought I was all of something, because Earl gave me them great tickets. And I owe him a lot, because Cookie fell in love with me that night. Because she couldn't have Lionel Richie, so she settled on me, right? Then everybody knows my love for softball. We were putting a softball team together. And this dude over here, Kenny, and I putting the team together. And we needed a pitcher. And, you know, Earl could pitch, you know. So Kenny said, man, Earl can pitch. I said, okay. So let's go talk to Earl. So Kenny, we recruited Earl. And our first run was pretty good, you know. We had a great run. Then we went from that level to a higher level the next year. So now we needed a manager, so we called Tiny up. So Tiny became the manager, and we toured the whole state of Michigan. We went everywhere. And then we had to have a tough conversation with Earl, because we met a guy named Johnny Jones, who was a better pitcher than Earl. So we said, who's going to have that conversation? Kenny and I were at his house. Who's going to tell Earl he's not going to start no more? So Kenny and I looked, and we said, we're going to put it on Tiny to tell his boy that he cannot start any longer. So this is one of the stories I got to tell. Because now we're traveling. I mean, we're really close. I was coming home every summer. And so we're having practice. Tiny is a drill sergeant. Man, I thought Pat Riley was something. I thought Judd was something. But this dude is tough. So we're at one of the practice. We're going to have a big game the next day. The Hearns-Sugar Ray fight was the next day. So I'm leaving, going to the fight. So after practice, everybody's telling me how Tommy Hearns is going to knock Sugar Ray out. The whole team. So I lined the whole team up. How much you got? How much you want to bet? So I went down the line. So everybody said 200, 100. So I'm writing it down. 300. Everybody was taking Tommy Hearns. I'm taking Sugar Ray. Only one. So, of course, you know what happened. Sugar Ray beat him in the last round, knocked him out. I get back home. We got practice. I'm trying to collect my money now. So Tiny give me his. Cleveland give me his. JD reluctantly gave me his. On and on and on. Now it comes to Earl. And Mike, you got that. You know, he got that look. And he's trying to figure out to tell me he don't have the money. So he thought I was going to say, you good. But I didn't say, you good. I want my money. So, Cleveland, you remember this? He went into his pocket, and he had that old bug. Remember, he was driving around, that VW. He goes to give me the keys to the car as his payment. I said, it's not even worth the $200-$300 that you owe me. I'm not taking your car. So we had a great laugh about that. Then the last thing, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Jack, is we spent so many Friday nights and Saturday nights at his house. Earl swore that he was the best Big Whiz player on the face of the earth. So him and Tiny gonna get together. So the first time I played against them, I gotta give them credit. They did smash myself and my partner. But then I went and got my brother Larry. And boy, once I got Larry, it was over for Earl and Tiny. But I would say this, is that first coming up through Lansing, Michigan, having a chance for this young man to cover my games and to sidebar with me, work on not only my game. Earl used to train me. People don't know this. I used to come home. I used to run with Earl. I tried to keep up with him. Couldn't do it. No, this is a true story. I would go maybe 2-3 miles. Earl would go like 10 miles. Earl was outstanding, but it helped me to get better too. And so my first year I won the MVP, it was because he helped me. We were on that track, I tell you, over and over and over again. So I got to give him some credit. So I also want to give him credit for helping me become a better man and a better person. Kenny, you did the same thing. Cleveland, Tiny, thank you. Everybody came together to do that. So I owe Earl so much. every time I came home, man, you got to do my show. No problem. Let's go do the show. Knock it out. And so it hurt all of us because when he passed away, a piece of all of us went with him. And this city will never be the same without Earl Robinson. And Michigan State won't ever be the same without Earl Robinson as well. So, brother, I know you up there now got the mic. You told God you're going to take over all the radio, TV stuff because, you know, Earl will take over, you know. But that's the true blessing. And so, Jack, again, thank you because you don't even realize all how much this man meant. And it's a lot of people who are not here that he touched in this city, in other cities as well. And God is so good to have put him in all of our lives, right? All of our lives.
Again, Magic Johnson sharing thoughts and memories of the late, great Earl Robinson. Had to play that snippet for you all. Wasn't that a great tribute? You know, Earl Robinson helping Magic get in shape to win that 1987 MVP award. That's awesome. Earl being at one time, the starting pitcher of Magic's softball team in which they traveled all across the great state of Michigan. Just fantastic memories. And, you know, for Magic to show up to that event when he has so many things on his agenda, just shows you the kind of character that Magic has and also the kind of impact that Earl Robinson had on this community and beyond. So just definitely wanted to play that for you all. What a celebration it was. It was a great time co-emceeing that event alongside Jack Ebling. All right, now as we proceed, here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, Michigan State linebacker Joe Bocci has been named to the 2019 Buckus Award watch list. Bocci, who has started 26 consecutive games at middle linebacker, has been named to numerous preseason All-American lists, including first-team recognition from Athlon Sports and Phil Steele. The Spartan senior linebacker also earned preseason All-Big Ten accolades and named to the Bednarik Award watch list. Also, Josiah Scott was named to the 2019 Paycom Jim Thorpe Award watch list. So multiple Spartans making watch list before the 2019 college football year gets underway. Most of them on the defensive side of the football. Just want to let that be known as well. All right. Le'Veon Bell is tired of social media. Sounds like me. More specifically, his critics that have repeatedly called him unfocused and question his dedication due to his numerous interests outside of football. We actually have the full rant that Le'Veon Bell posted on his social media yesterday.
Bro, I'm tired of social media. I'm tired of everybody telling me, you're not focused. You only want to make music. You want to play basketball. He do everything besides play football. And let me tell y'all something. Let me tell y'all something. Everybody talking that. I know y'all got a favorite person, a favorite athlete, your mom, your dad, whatever y'all do. So if somebody work at Target, do you think when they work from day 9 to 5, they go home and all they doing is worry about putting on the shelves? They trying to worry about what serial number's coming up? No. You think Bron is waking up? Oh, he ain't having no Taco Tuesdays. Bron don't have Taco Tuesdays. Y'all think he's just whooping all day? So y'all think it's legitimate for me to just, oh yeah, I ain't supposed to be in this airport on the escalator. I'm supposed to be running up the steps, huh? Working out, getting up these damn steps, huh? That's crazy. So guess what I'm gonna do for y'all? I'm gonna give y'all this one time. run down these damn steps. Look, I'm running down the escalator. That's what I like. I like this. What y'all want him to do too? This is what I got to do too. He a normal civilian running down the escalator. I said, I'm guessing that's what I got to do. The normal civilian, y'all just running, running, working out, not eating, not doing.
So, Le'Veon Bell.
That even left out his little rant about Beyonce and Jay-Z. That was, I mean.
Oh, he had a rant about
there was
Beyonce
a little bit.
Jay-Z.
There was a little bit in there, too.
Was, so that wasn't a full rant. That was chopped up.
I think that was all of it, except for they. That was off of Get Up, and then they left off, I think, the part where he said something like, you think Beyonce's singing all day long or something like that.
So, as you heard, Le'Veon is frustrated because he has been getting a lot of criticism from people out there saying that he is not focused. I mean, he's making hip-hop videos. Le'Veon is, how should I label him, Connor? He is an aspiring hip-hop artist.
Freelance hip-hop artist.
A freelance hip-hop artist. Yeah, I don't think he's getting paid, right? I don't think the brother's getting paid to do that right now. I'm not a big fan of his music. Maybe some are. I don't know. It's just not, that doesn't float my boat. But anyway, Le'Veon, and then the whole situation with his jewelry getting stolen. He's partying it up. A lot of people believe that Le'Veon Bell is not focused. So that hit a boiling point, and you heard the said rant. I have more on that later on this hour, but it's pretty funny. If you can find that Jay-Z Beyonce part, Connor, I would love to hear that. That is, I didn't know he mentioned Jay-Z and Beyonce. So he said, you think Beyonce is singing all day or something like that?
Something like that. He references Beyonce, but it was kind of funny.
Oh, that's great stuff. All right. Corner Darius Slay will report for the start of training camp. That's being reported by ESPN's Adam Schefter this morning, citing a source. The news came after NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reported yesterday that defensive tackle Damon Snacks Harrison would also report to Lions camp. Both Slay and Harrison skipped voluntary workouts and mandatory minicamp in the offseason because they wanted new contracts. They each have 2 years left on their current deals. Okay, speaking of social media, this is why I can't stand social media sometimes. Tom Brady should get a penalty for a stunt, I guess, he pulled on vacation, critics say. The Patriots quarterback, he posted an Instagram video on Saturday from his family trip to Costa Rica featuring the six-time Super Bowl champ and his younger daughter, Vivian, jumping off a rock into the water below. And not all social media followers approved, which is why it's in our current sports headliners. Quote, Tom, don't scare me like that, one user commented. Another Twitter user called on the NFL to have Brady punished for his actions. Quote, bad parenting? His daughter almost broke her arm. NFL should consider punishment. I mean, just stop it. Oh, my. Now, I will say, Connor Mathis behind the glass today. Connor, I will say that the video is a bit cringy because I'll do the best. I'll try my best in explaining it if you haven't seen it. Tom Brady, they're about to jump off this cliff. Tom Brady is holding the hand of his daughter. And, you know, he's like, are you ready? And she's like, yeah. But she's a bit hesitant. And then Tom jumps. They don't jump on time. And Tom kind of yanks her arm a bit. And she falls awkwardly in the water. So people, it's cringy because she did land awkward and, you know, there maybe there's a possibility that she could have gotten injured. Yeah. But the reaction that I'm reading on social media,
people
is
are overreacting.
So it just speaks to what I've been saying about social media for a long, long time, for years, in fact, that people are going to find anything to complain about. People love drama. People love arguing. And she did not get hurt. Thank goodness. But those out there who are completely bashing Tom Brady for this are just totally out of their minds. I just don't get it, man.
Well, the other thing, too, is it's funny that it's all the fans that are complaining and the team is just kind of quiet on it. I mean,
there's no need to comment on it.
I mean, the thing is, like, the NFL, what they do in their offseason, it's kind of up to them. I mean, I didn't hear anybody from Washington complain. Josh Norman jumped over a bull. I didn't hear it. But it's just odd.
people love instigating situations. That's what it is, man. People have nothing else to talk about, so they look at this video and they say, oh, that didn't look good. Let's bash Tom Brady.
Do you remember earlier in the offseason, Patrick Mahomes was playing basketball and people were freaking out saying, you shouldn't be playing basketball. You could break an ankle.
Yeah, the football player
could break an ankle playing basketball.
Right. I don't get it, man. I just think people just like complaining. People love complaining. That's all this is. So, Tom, at least, is out there with his daughter having some quality time on vacation. I mean, come on, man. That's being a great dad, in my opinion. So, anyway. All right, moving along. The Dallas Cowboys, my Cowboys, baby, remain the world's most valuable sports team, according to the annual list published by Forbes magazine. The Cowboys are worth $5 billion and top the list for the fourth straight year. The values take into account earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and so on. The NFL also remains king as far as value is concerned, with 26 of its 32 teams appearing on the list. Also, the Dallas Cowboys remain the world's most valuable sports... Well, excuse me, Mark Sanchez. That was the same headliner. Mark Sanchez, folks, is walking away from the NFL. Sanchez will be known for, of course, the butt fumble. We all remember the butt fumble, right? I mean, that's been played in our respective football minds over and over and over because it's absolutely hilarious. But, you know, Mark, who the former New York Jets quarterback who was involved, again, in one of the greatest bloopers in NFL history, he's stepping away and will now join ESPN's college football show, according to the New York Post. So ESPN also announced that former New England Patriots linebacker Rob Ninkovich will join the network as an NFL analyst as well. And I think, you know, I've seen Marco on television before, and he is pretty polished. I like listening to him. I like watching him. So awesome stuff for him. Mark Sanchez officially done playing in the league. Also, the Detroit Tigers open up a short set against the Philadelphia Phillies as the Phillies will take on the Tigers at Comerica Park at 7:10 p.m. tonight. And frustrated, even after hitting a walk-off homer on Sunday, Detroit Tigers right fielder Nick Castellanos, he expressed his displeasure with his team's stadium and its pitcher-friendly dimensions, saying, quote, "This park is a joke. It's to the point where how are we going to be compared to the rest of the people in the league in terms of power numbers, OPS, slugging, and all of the stuff when we got a yard out there here that's 420 feet straight across center field." So the Tigers rank last in the majors with just 34 homers in 48 games at their home ballpark. By comparison, they have 55 homers in 48 road games. All right, so yeah, I kind of get it, but I kind of don't. Jack, do you think this is just kind of a cop-out because this team is so bad?
Let's put it this way. When the Tigers were really good 5 or 6 years ago, they had no problem sending the ball out of Comerica Park.
Right.
I mean, it's still, the dimensions of it, it is probably still a little bit too pitcher-friendly as a park.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Tigers not hitting so many home runs is because they suck.
Exactly. I think if the record was different, you wouldn't hear Nick Castellanos coming out and saying this. So there you have that. I'm with you on that. All right. And some boxing news. Anthony Durrell of Flint will defend his WBC Super Middleweight Championship September 28th in L.A. against former WBC champion David Benavidez. Durrell told that news to Flint's own ABC 12. Now, the fight has been on hold since David was stripped of his belt and suspended last year after testing positive for a banned substance. Durrell, sitting at 33-1-1, 24 KOs, will have experience on his side. But at age 22, David, at 21-0-0 with 18 KOs, is 12 years younger. So we'll see how much that will play a factor in that fight. Durrell won the WBC Super Middleweight title for the second time in February when he recorded a technical split decision at the Minnesota Armory in Minneapolis. All right, that does it for your quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can comment below the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Connor, let's hit our first break right now. We're at the 1:30 mark. And when we come back, we will talk with Greg Monahan, on-field host for the Lansing Lugnuts, who has a pretty big announcement, bittersweet for us here in the mid-Michigan area. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I do want to note that Luana K. Simon, former Michigan State president, as she has resumed her, preliminary hearing to see if she will stand trial when it comes to possibly lying during the state's investigation into a potential cover-up of the Larry Nassar scandal. This thing has been really lengthy. Very, very lengthy. And that preliminary hearing has been taking place since this morning. I know, Connor, you buzzed in my ear earlier in the hour that they have braked for lunch, I know, and they've heard a lot of testimony throughout the day. I think this thing may go into like 4:30, 5 o'clock, who knows. We do have our very own Kevin Lavery, who is following this very closely. And again, keep it locked to WKAR throughout the afternoon, all things considered. I know we will have coverage of that. But again, this, you know, a lot of people expect this is the day that we will find out if Luana K. Simon will in fact stand trial. Again, being accused of lying during the state's investigation into a possible cover-up of the Larry Nassar scandal. And again, I've told Connor Mathis and Jack Kerwin, behind the glass engineers of today's Current Sports, to keep me posted on anything that possibly breaks in these next 30 minutes before we bid you all adieu at 2 p.m., okay? All right, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports, because I'm certainly excited and happy for him. It's going to be a bittersweet moment when he officially leaves us here in the mid-Michigan area, but he is the longtime on-field host of the Lansing Lugnuts, who has an announcement of where he will be taking his talents. But Greg Monahan, first off, Greg, how are you doing? So good to see your face. Always good to see you, man.
Always good to see you, too, Al. I'm just grateful that you invited me back. I think I was back
last summer,
about
right?
1 year ago. Yeah, exactly. Almost probably to the date or something.
Right, right.
Thank goodness things have progressed really well for me since then. I was in the middle of a lot of health problems.
Right, right.
Yet I was still hosting all those Lugnuts games. You know, somehow last year I managed not to miss one, despite the fact that
miss one game, even with everything that was going on with your health last year.
Yeah, exactly. I had lost my large intestine from a surgery, and then there were subsequent surgeries after that, and I managed to make it. As soon as they hired me in, I made every game the rest of the year. So that kind of gives you an idea of how much I loved that job, man. I always went into that job thinking, boy, this is better than having the day off.
Right.
You know, and
right.
That doesn't happen with most jobs.
A lot of people dread when that alarm clock goes off in the morning.
Right?
They dread going to work. But you have such a fun job and you're so good at it. Again, if you've been to a Lansing Lugnuts game in recent years, you have seen Greg. Trust me. Again, he just said he hasn't missed a game. Have you ever missed a game?
I missed, I did not miss a game 2014, 2015, which is when I started. I got sick with all those health problems, and I missed 2016 and 2017, but I wasn't on staff.
Right, right.
And then last year I came in, didn't miss a game, which was, that was the hardest one because I was still dealing with post-surgery problems.
Right.
And then this year, I missed one game because my absolute best friend from undergrad was getting married on May 4th.
Oh, that's a good excuse.
Exactly. I said, you know what? I made every game for four seasons. I'm gonna take this one off.
Okay, I want to start because since you've already brought it up, Greg, the health battles that you have had, for a while, and defeating that, Can you take us to just the beginning of that and where you are now and what's happened this past year?
Yeah, absolutely. So haven't exactly like called it out yet, but the problems that I've had have all been centered around a gastrointestinal disease, autoimmune disease called ulcerative colitis.
Right.
And I had that when I was 13. That's when I got diagnosed, and I fought the heck out of it for about 10 years, 12 years. And after the end of my second lug nut season in my first stint, so that would have been 2015, my health really started to deteriorate. I had to move home, and that's right by the University of Michigan, and try to figure out what I was going to do next. And I went through like three different medical trials, which are basically they're going to poke you with stuff and say, we hope this works. And three strikes and you're out, because none of those ones even came close to doing much.
And what does the condition do to your body again?
Yes. Good question, Al. It is an inflammation of your large intestine. So your large intestine is ulcered. It is bleeding. You can't, you basically have to go to the bathroom. You know, I was going to the bathroom like 25 times a day. It was miserable. I didn't sleep for more than 2 hours at a time for 2 years, because I had to keep getting up to go use the bathroom. It causes a lot of nausea. And it absolutely saps you of any energy that you once had.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, there's a lot of medications, too, that you got to be on in order to try to mitigate the problems that have arisen. However, they seem to lose their efficacy over time. And that's pretty much what happened with me. Like when I was 13, when I was 14, 15, pretty much throughout all my teenage years, it was manageable. And then in my 20s, it started to get a little worse. And then by my mid-20s, it was like I couldn't even work a job.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I ended up, I did all these medical trials. And then I decided to just give up. And I got this surgery to completely remove my large intestine.
And when was this? What date was that?
That was on July 24th, 2017.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then it was supposed to be a three surgery process. I won't get too much into it, but my doctors made a couple of pretty significant mistakes that led to two more surgeries, and I still have one left to go. However, it's a pretty minor one. It'll take about a week or two of recovery, mm-hmm. and then after that, I should be all done.
That's amazing. So since the last time we talked to you, you know, last year, what has been done, you know, up until today's day?
So last time when I was talking to you, I was sitting here with a colostomy bag sticking out of my stomach.
Right.
Yeah. And so that is how I used the bathroom for over a year. And then in mid-October, we'll call it, I had another surgery to remove that colostomy bag, hook my small intestine up to, for lack of a better word, the original plumbing, and then I can go to a bathroom like a normal person again.
Right.
It's just you have a little bit of problems because you still have to go more than a normal person because you don't have a large intestine, but life is pretty normal for me now.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it's great. And that's what's allowed me to attack this lug nut season with the energy and the fervor that I have, because you know, I'm going on to a new job. I'm starting on August 5th in Minneapolis. But
yes, what are you going to be doing? You want to make the cat's already out the bag. I told them that you're going to Minnesota.
Yes.
What are you doing out in Minnesota, and how did that come about?
So I am going to be working at a company called Hayworth Marketing and Media, mm-hmm. Doing social media strategy, social media analytics, and campaigns for a lot of their big clients. It's kind of exciting because it's none of these no-name clients that you've never heard of. Like they've got Jimmy John's, they've got Dick's Sporting Goods, their biggest one is Walmart.
Wow.
So I am kind of like tapping into my creativity in a different way with this job. Like I got to, you know, go out there and ad lib minor league baseball promotions, you know, 10 times a game for 90 seconds. And that was a blast. But this is like a totally new type of creativity where I get to plan things out a little bit more, try to create advertisements, create social media posts that people aren't going to just roll their eyes at. Right. Hopefully make them at least engaging. Even better is if I can make them, people chuckle at them.
use that comedic side of Greg Monahan. Yeah,
that's what I'm going for, man.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think that's always been one of my advantages, and I think that's one of the reasons why that they brought me in, because they saw, like, boy, this guy, he's got an odd career path. Like, I haven't really worked full-time in marketing yet.
Yeah.
But I think that they saw my creativity. The interview went really well. They realized I was well-spoken. I was paying attention to their questions. I was ready with whatever they threw at me.
And
it works out. It worked out really well.
Well, I tell you what, one of the things that I've always admired about you, Greg, is in spite of the health challenges that you've had, you have always remained so positive, so positive. Your outlook on life is something that we can all take notes on, because I think it's something that we all should adopt. You know, no matter what you're going through, you know, if you attack it with a positive attitude, man, you can change your circumstances. Because if we were to succumb to some of the dark things that we go through in life mentally, you're done.
Yeah,
you're shot, right?
Absolutely. And trust me, when I was going through those years, I had to move back into my parents' house, and I didn't have any jobs. I wasn't able to work. I got me at myself in those extremely tough spots.
Mm-hmm.
And mental health is something that I take really seriously now. And I needed a few breaks to go my way. And finally, when I moved back here, the Lugnuts offered me that job back kind of out of nowhere.
Wow.
Because they had a host, but then she just happened to be leaving. And they called me, like, they found out that I had moved like 2 weeks prior to the job opening.
Mm-hmm.
So they called me in, and I worked that season with them. And I've had the chance to continue that into this season. And they knew that I was looking for a full-time job all year, and they were encouraging me. And I told my boss, and I said, I took a full-time job in Minneapolis, working in marketing right downtown Minneapolis. I'm excited as a sports fan. It is going to be on the 24th floor, and it's 4 blocks away from Target Field, where the Twins play.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be able to see the ballpark, like, from where I'm working.
Right. That's awesome. So you get to whet that appetite of baseball a
little
bit. Still on the job.
Exactly. And in fact, I am going there as soon as this interview ends. I'm flying, driving to DTW.
Right.
Going to MSP to check out apartments and just check out the city, in general.
Yeah.
And on Wednesday, I'm going to the Yankees Twins game.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes. Enjoy your time out there, Greg. Yeah. A couple more questions, though, because
sure,
I want to go back to how you mental health, because that is a big topic, no matter what area of life you're talking about today in 2019. When you did, because we're human, when you did have those dark moments, how did you pull yourself out?
The thing that I cannot stress enough, and I know it's so hard for people to realize that they need it and follow through on the fact that they need to make moves and make it happen, is scheduling and finding a good therapist.
Thank you. Right.
It has a stigma against it.
And I think that stigma is slowly being chipped away at.
Agreed.
We're not there yet.
Agreed.
But I think people are more open, to saying, hey, I need some help. Let me go and seek a therapist and talk to somebody.
Exactly. And, sometimes, like a couple months ago, I had 2 therapists.
Right.
And I talk openly about it. I think that's the only way to help bring that stigma down a little bit and make it less consuming to those who are actually feeling that stigma is going to affect how others feel about them.
Right.
Going to therapy is step one for people who are having mental health problems. It can be very difficult to go out and find one. And then personally for me, it's, it might not work for everybody, but when I get isolated, when I get alone, that is when I do my worst. I get stuck in my own head, and I have problems with that. And so even if I don't want to, I will force myself to go out and hang out with people. Or if nobody's available, I'll go take a walk way longer than I want to with my dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take like a 5-mile walk with my dog, and then I come back and like, I leave that, I start that walk and I'm thinking, I don't want to do this at all. And then by about mile two or something, I'm like, you know what? This isn't so bad.
Right.
You know, trying to just change your environment, you know, not everybody can get a therapist, but trying to change your environment, trying to reach out to the people who are truly close to you and truly care if you're doing well, if you're doing not, and they're not just putting on a face that says, oh, why can't you just be happy? Like, think of all the good things in your life. That's not how depression works.
No.
You can't just say, look, I'm doing, or even worse is like, oh, I went through all this. Like, you can handle this. Like, that's...
You can't flip a switch.
Exactly.
It's not one of those things, you know? That is great advice. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the on-field host for the Lanting Lugnuts inside of Cooley Law School Stadium, Greg Monahan. He is taking a new job in Minnesota, as you just heard. He'll be driving to Detroit and heading to DTW and flying to Minnesota and scoping out some apartments and getting ready for a new gig out in Minnesota. And Greg... first off, when is your last day? When is your last game?
My last game with the Lansing Lugnuts, for anybody who is listening, I will be Saturday, next Saturday, obviously, Sunday, and I'm pretty sure I'm working Monday. We've got a 3-game homestand before they hit the road.
Right.
Saturday is at 7 o'clock, Sunday is at 1 o'clock, and Monday is at noon. It's kind of like a business getaway day, trying to get people to skip out of work.
Awesome,
And it surprisingly works pretty well some days. Yeah.
That's awesome. But yeah, I'm kind of sick today now. Then you go end up at the Lugnuts game, right?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
you got that summertime cold. You don't want to
infect that summertime
anybody.
Cold.
Yeah.
Don't want to, you know, get anybody else sick. So I get that. That's awesome. So those will be your last three games. That'll be your last series.
Yeah.
And, you know, folks, if you see Greg, you know, wish him luck if you do see him from now until his final game with the Lanting Lugnuts. Definitely say hello and wish him luck as he goes to Minnesota. What will you miss the most about this job? And how long did you do this, Greg? How many years has it been now?
Four seasons. I did the math yesterday because I did the, you know, the traditional Facebook post.
The Facebook post, right.
That says, hey, guys, I'm getting out of here. And I added it up, 4 seasons, 254 games, more than 1 million fans were in attendance over that span.
Whoa.
So I like to brag about that one. That one sounds pretty cool, right?
Put that on the resume.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
Four seasons, and my goodness, you know, when I took that job as a 24-year-old, I was ecstatic about it. And that feeling never went away, man. I worked a game on Saturday. It was Burt Reynolds night, and we had 8,000 people out there. And for whatever reason, people were just treating me like I was the biggest celebrity in the park. It's amazing. Like, they don't know the names of the players, but because I'm out there on a microphone 15 times a game, and I've got my name on the back of my jersey.
Right.
People love to yell, Greg, take pictures with me. And like, that is what I'm going to miss, man.
Man, it's, and you are truly ingrained in the community.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You really are.
Right. It hurts to move away because, you know, if you're doing public speaking in front of up to 10,000 people, obviously you like the attention a little bit.
Right. I mean, you know?
I feed off that, you know,
right.
it makes me happy, and then it makes me better at my job, and then it makes the fans happier too.
Definitely.
Because they see me having fun and then they're having fun.
Awesome.
You know, I will really miss the fans and the support from people who recognize me, but you know, there's just so many people in the crowd. I can't recognize everybody, but they come up to me after the games and they say, Greg, you're the man. They give me high five. They want to take a picture with me or something.
Right.
Boy, like, I never thought I'd be, I like to call myself a D-list celebrity in Lansing.
A D-list celebrity. Stop it. You're definitely A-list.
Oh,
all right,
man,
Greg.
I don't know about
Stop
that.
Stop it, man.
I appreciate it. But I've got a little bit of a following that really appreciates the fact that if they go to a Lugnuts games over those 4 seasons I was working, they knew I was going to be there.
Right.
So even the people that I never talked to face to face are coming up to me now and saying, hey, we really enjoyed your time here. We just are so grateful for you. And they're excited for me too.
And I want to give you the opportunity right now, Greg, because I want to get you out of here so you don't miss your flight.
Yeah.
But I want to
clock out of DTW.
Exactly, right? Yeah. I want to give you the opportunity right now to talk to those individuals, if they may be listening wherever they are right now, those individuals who supported you, who are the ones yelling, Greg, take a picture with me, who have supported you throughout your four seasons as the on-field host for the Lansing Lugnuts. We have the Facebook live stream right there if you want to look at the live stream and just say something to the people before we get you out of here, man.
You know, I would, because I thought I would love this job as soon as I got it. I thought I would love it, but my expectations have been surpassed beyond any reasonable amount of belief that I ever had. And it wasn't because I got to run around on a baseball field. It wasn't because I got to hang out with minor league baseball players. Like, that was really cool to me in the first season and stuff. That stuff sort of wore off. What never wore off was I could walk around that stadium and people would yell my name and tell me how much they appreciated me. And it was people of all ages. There would be seven-year-olds coming up to me and giving me high fives. And then, you know, a 90-year-old couple come down from the suites at the end of the game and they stop to shake my hand and they say, man, we really appreciate you. You bring a lot of energy. You bring a lot of fun to these games. It wouldn't be the same without you. And hearing those things is, it's what makes me feel good, like when I go to bed at night,
right.
You know, like when I've turned off, like I play a little bit of a character out there. Like it's a very much exaggerated version of myself. You're hearing me in more of a regular Greg tone right now.
Right.
But when I'm in the ballpark, I am playing this eccentric character. And I don't know if it was the fact that I refined it over 4 years, but people just have really, really taken to it. And, like, for example, on Saturday, we do this game before fireworks where fans throw balls on. It's kind of like the puck toss at Arena.
Right, right.
Same idea. We have two targets on first base side, third base side, and they got to throw all these balls to try to land on them. And it's because we have to get ready for the fireworks to come out because we bring them out on the field.
Yeah.
And so they give me a microphone and they're basically like, okay, it's time for the Laugh Cue launch, which is the game where they throw all the balls on the field. And Greg, you've got the microphone for about 4 minutes, kill time until you think the fireworks are ready.
Right.
And it's a fun gig, but this Saturday I mentioned it. I was like, hey, I got a little secret to tell you guys. I'm only telling my closest friends. There's like 8,000 people in the crowd. Like, I'm only telling my closest friends, so this stays between you and me. But this is my second to last Laugh Cue launch because we'll have one again on Saturday.
Right.
I accepted a full-time job in Minneapolis, and unfortunately, I won't be the host of the Lugnuts at the end of the month. And before I could get into my next sentence, the crowd broke out into applause. And I had a next sentence to go to right away. And you, as well as I know, Al, if you're doing public speaking, the two times you pause is if there's a round of applause, or the two times you stop speaking is when there's a round of applause, or if there is a big bunch of laughter.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of sit back and
let it breathe.
You let that moment breathe. You let it pass, and you just kind of soak it in for a second. And I realized I was appreciated there, but to have an entire stadium that I don't even think is listening to me half the time interrupt me in the best way possible with applause really, really warmed my heart, and it made me realize that I guess I am sort of a part of this community.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, really makes me happy because, you know, if you go back 10 years and I'm 19-year-old Greg who just has a dream of getting into sports slash stand-up comedy.
Right.
Those are my two things when I was in young, like early into undergrad.
Yeah.
If I want, and I fast forward my life 10 years and I give myself a picture that at 29, I'm hosting minor league baseball games in front of crowds of a few thousand every game.
Right.
I would have been so ecstatic for myself.
Right. Well, I tell you what, Greg, you have done an amazing job, and the community loves you, and we wish you all the best on that next endeavor out in Minnesota. We'll be in touch, man. We got to get you back on when you do, you know, pitch a tent out there for a while. All right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I really appreciate you having me on, Al. And one last time, I just want to say anybody who's ever seen me at a Lugnuts game, anybody who's ever stopped me and said I did a great job or they really enjoyed what I did out there, I never once brushed any of those compliments aside. Like, that is what I live for. And all those fans that brought that to me really made the job as much fun as it was on day one as it was on day 254.
There you go. Greg Monahan, you are a class act, man.
You too, Al. I really appreciate you having me here.
Anytime. And again, this isn't goodbye.
This is not goodbye.
All right. Yeah. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just finished up chatting with Greg Monahan, on-field host of the Lansing Lugnuts. Connor, I'm sure you have been to many Lansing Lugnuts games. And again, you know, Greg is, you can't miss him. You know, he is full of energy, always bringing it and getting the crowd happy and riled up, man. And, you know, definitely, if that chat doesn't inspire you, nothing will. You don't have a pulse, right? Awesome. Awesome stuff. So, folks, man, time flies when you're having fun. We have less than 2 minutes left in the hour. And I'll save it for tomorrow. I want to talk about the 20th anniversary of Barry Sanders. Because I believe, Connor, that was the best 10-year stretch for any NFL running back of all time. And I got the numbers to prove it. You know, we always have this debate. You know, who's the GOAT when it comes to the running back position? And Barry Sanders' name is always brought up, but those who argue otherwise may bring up Jim Brown or somebody else, say, well, Barry only played 10 years for the Lions. Well, you have to put that in the argument. You have to weigh that. But when you look at those 10 years, boy, oh boy, they were pretty historic. So,
Do you realize that you hit the perfect, like, Slim Shady voice right there when you were doing that mocking tone?
Oh, did I?
Do you realize?
Slim Shady, Eminem?
You're going to have to replay the tape. That was pretty impressive, Al.
Well, we may have to use that for a drop. Cut that for a drop, then. I did not notice that. So we'll get to that on tomorrow's show. We'll also talk some college football and even some college basketball. I'm going to talk about Tom Izzo and his team. Some points I want to make concerning the incoming class for next season, all right? But until we meet again, we are on a 23-hour break. Much love and much thanks to Greg Monahan and for all of our listeners out there. Connor Mathis, Jack Kerwin behind the glass. We will see you on the hump day edition of Current Sports. Be easy, people.